WDW for Families, the original family-friendly trip planning podcast, helping you plan your Disney vacation for over 5 years.
All right, welcome to WDW for Families. I am here with the same crew as last time, but that's a good thing, right? So we have, let's mix it up a little. We're over in Texas. Kevin is here. Say hello, Kevin.
Hey, everybody.
All right, nice. Kevin, are you still basking in the glow of your Texas Rangers World Series?
It will last until the next World Series, yes. And whether the Rangers are in it or not, trust me, we're still champions until then.
I will never know that feeling. I will never know that feeling.
No, you're wearing your Brewers hat and everything, but who knows?
Yeah, I am. All right, Charity, how are things up there in the north?
Things are still cold. Glad for your team, Kevin.
All right. Well, tonight we are talking about a couple of new experiences we've had since we've talked to you. First of all, we're talking about Space 220, which is a restaurant that is all the rage at Disney World these days, specifically Epcot. And then we're going to talk about Jollywood Nights, which is a new shindig they brought about for Christmas. We should have done this closer to Christmas, but we did it when we could. So we've got Jollywood Nights here tonight. And then we're going to talk just about our latest trips and things we liked and didn't like about our experience at Disney World. It's been so long since we've seen you. We've got an idea for a podcast. I think that's really good that we're going to do when we have Randy with us or maybe Stephanie. And that is, since we've been podcasting for 11 years, we all want to talk about what are the changes that we have liked the most and the least since we've been going to Disney World, which should be an interesting one. And I'm going to take paying for parking off the gambit immediately, because I think we would all say that, especially paying for parking at the hotel, which is crazy. All right. Let's talk about this thing. First of all, what is Space 220, Charity? And what's this all about?
So this is a space-themed restaurant in Epcot, and it is, to me, it's reminiscent of the Living Seas and the Hydrolators, but it is a full experience. You are transported via a space elevator the whole way out into space. And so you get to dine while viewing everything that comes into view around you. But there's a space shuttle, astronauts, spaceships, space junk, yeah. All sorts of things that surround you while you are dining.
Yeah, it's a premium dining experience. Is this a 2-credit dinner based on the old credit system, Charity, or they even still do that? Does that still exist?
So those do still exist. I assume if this is on the dining plan, it would be 2. Have not even looked at it, honestly, and I think we will get to this point as we talk about our reviews of it. Whether it would be worth 2 credits or not, even if it is on the dining plan, I think that would let's just say I'm leaning one direction, and that's why I don't know.
All right, well, let's go in excess and talk to Kevin here. Kevin, what have you heard about Space 220? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I've not been. I've actually tried to go a couple of times. The last 2 times I was there, and we weren't able to get in. It's very challenging to get in, just because it's so popular. I'm definitely interested in trying it, because it's just a unique experience, right? I mean, that's one of the things that Disney does so well. And I love that about Disney. It's one of my favorite things. So I want to experience it. I'll tell you, just the things that I've heard about it is that the atmosphere is amazing. The food is not maybe as amazing for what you're paying, but that's I don't know, because I've not been there, so I am curious to know your thoughts on those sorts of things. But I think just the experience is really what you're paying for more than anything else.
Yeah, Charity, have you been yet? Have you gotten to? I know you've had a lot of clients go. You have been. Okay, so
yes, Charity, I have been. Mm-hmm.
Charity and I both have been. First of all, I think the listeners all know what Charity's thinking. Charity, go ahead and unleash your venom on Space D20.
No, I think it is difficult to get into and popular because it's the newest thing, not necessarily because it's the best thing. Mm-hmm. I would say my personal experience on the atmosphere was probably knocked down a little bit compared to others because we were sitting right on the glass. And so our view of space was a little more obviously screens, and it wasn't quite as appealing. You know, some things were a little distorted looking because of where we were sitting. You know, we were on the glass, but we were to the far, far end. It kind of dampened that a little bit. I would say it is one of those restaurants where every seat in the house is not equal. Definitely if you can sit a little bit farther back from the glass, and if you are seated more in the center than the far ends, you'll have a better experience.
One tip I would give is if you can dine in a larger party, you're going to be further away from the glass, because I think the four tops are the ones that are close to the glass, and the six and eight tops are the ones that are going to be far away.
Yeah.
I would agree with a lot of your sentiment there, Charity. Just keep going if you want to keep going, and I'll chime in here.
Yeah. I did think that the meal options were interesting. I thought it was nice to have something really different as options to choose from. I not choose the same dish again. But I think if you're going to go, I don't know, maybe take a look at the menu first and get a good idea of maybe what other people are saying about the things that you're going to order first. I was trying to not, ruin the surprise of things, because I had gone a little bit earlier on. And I think I should have researched a little bit better ahead of time. I was not highly impressed with the food. So I'm hoping that'll get better with time. And I was really disappointed that it is so, so very hard to get in there. But while I was there, there were more than two dozen open tables.
Oh, wow.
Completely empty tables. I almost felt like it felt like they were purposely trying to make it difficult to get in. I just think I was having a letdown of an experience compared to what I had built it up in my head to be.
Yeah,
what did you think, Todd?
Yeah, let me jump in here. I think you're exactly right on them holding back on this to make it exclusive. I am not a big conspiracy theorist. I love Disney. I am a Disney homer. I do think they did that on purpose. I think that they hold people out of it. When we went in there, it was half full. And, Charity and I, we tried for weeks to get that reservation. And I finally got it. I was so pumped. And this is what I would say about the atmosphere. If you're really into space bars, then yeah, it's cool. There's a huge bar there. That's one of the biggest bars in a restaurant I've ever seen. And the screens and the graphics on the screen, it's like 1978 Space Mountain. I mean, it's not blow your socks off kind of technology. The elevator up was kind of cool, but I mean, that's like Star Tours. I mean, it was,
did it remind you of the Hydrolator?
Yes, it was not. When I saw what I was paying for just my wife and I to eat there, I don't feel angry at Disney very often, but I was kind of irritated because I felt like they had hoodwinked me a little bit into this experience that I thought was going to be amazing. And the food was average at best. Now, I will give Disney its due on food. That will improve. We've seen it with just about every restaurant they bring in, like the Skipper Cantina is suddenly amazing now. And so you've got these restaurants at Disney starts. They're not going to start out strong usually. But this one particular, for what I'm paying, like I could forgive the Skipper Cantina because I walked up, got a reservation at the last minute, and I was out of there for less than $60. Right. But if I'm paying over $100, and we, you know, we didn't even order drinks or anything like that, and we're paying over $100 to sit in there, and our service was average at best. I mean, our server was really sweet, but she, you know, she came out four times, you know, through the whole meal. It was just, come on, Disney, that's not what that's not the restaurant we're looking for, you know. Like, I'm rarely disappointed with things that Disney does, and this was a big disappointment for me. And who is this for? Okay, for people like, let's spin it positively. If your kids really like outer space, and you're a millionaire, and you can just lay down, you know, $100, $200, like it's not. Or if you're Randall J. Whitman, and you've adopted a child that likes space, because you know Randy is, you know, he doesn't like imagination. So if he's, you know, he brings in, you know, somebody else's child who likes space and goes up there to the space restaurant, that's who this is for. People who can just throw away money and who like space stuff.
I think it has an appeal for people who really like exclusivity, right? If you want to say, oh, I got to do, you know, this super special thing that's really, really hard to get into. And that's where you get your excitement is like, oh, I did it. Did you fall into the trap of, because I was trying to do the full experience, right? So I did the non-alcoholic drink that you spend $14 or $15 on, and they give you like the pack of cards.
No, that wasn't in my plan.
I don't remember how many cards were in it. It was like, let's say 3 or 4 maybe. Like, oh, but if you get one of these special cards, then, like, you know, the only way to get the cards is to get in the restaurant and get the special drink. And then you get the opportunity to have these super special cards. That would be my thought. If that's your thing, right? If, like, oh, getting the exclusive, like, I made it in the really hard to get restaurant and I got the drinks and I got the super special pack of cards. I think if that's, you know, something that's really like, wow, I would take that as a chip on my shoulder. That's a cool factor. Enjoy spending your $100 on your own meal for one person and a drink or two, $8 a pop for a non-alcoholic drink. And and just have a good day.
I think this is for the Disney checklist person. And, you know, that's what they got me. I'm a Disney checklist person. If Disney offers it, I want to try it. And they got me. I think it'll get better. I think they need to do some thinking about the inside of the restaurant, too.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that they're up against is the park that they're in. I mean, you've got this experience that is very unique, but the food isn't very good, and you put a location in Epcot where they basically have year-round festivals, it seems, with these built-in food booths that they used to not have. You know, now they've got these standalone food booths that you can get unbelievably unique and exciting food at all of these different places. I mean, you've really kind of put yourself in a rare position to fail. And you've done it, it sounds like.
The location of the restaurant may be something we want to talk about real quick. It's right over by Mission Space. It's kind of hidden a little bit, so it's a little difficult to find. But that's about all we really need to talk about as far as Space 220, because we need to get on to the Jollywood Nights. Kept wanting to say Jinglewood Nights. Jollywood Nights. First of all, Terry, what is Jollywood Nights? I know that this is the first year they have done it, and yes. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It was great. So it's a brand new Christmas party at the Hollywood Studios. I believe they had scheduled 10 parties total this year. I know the first one was not well reviewed. I think part of that was, you know, the crowd was mostly all media. And, you know, the vloggers and the people who, you know, they need to make a headline to get an attraction, right? To get people to look at their stuff. So if they say, you know, I went to a Disney thing and it was great, versus if they say I went to a Disney thing and it was awful, you know, which one is going to get more hits? Personally, I think that had a little bit to do with the initial reviews. Of course, the first night of anything was going to be, you know, not what their potential was overall. But anyways, the point was they scheduled 10. I think the first one got rained out a little bit towards the end. And I know another one was canceled entirely due to weather. So, you know, I think they had 8 parties that went on for the full party, and so yeah, it was pretty exclusive event.
Well, let us jump in here real quick with some quick questions for you, Charity. First of all,
yeah,
is it a hard ticket event? How much did it cost, and did they clear out the park to let the Jollywood folks in? I kind of led you there. Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, it was hard ticket event. So it was a completely separate thing. They did have an hour of clear out time where they cleared out the park of, you know, anyone who was a day guest, was, you know, shooed on their way. But unlike the, Christmas parties at, the Magic Kingdom, they did not allow for all that extra time to get into the park. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a 4 o'clock entry for an 8 o'clock party. I think it was a 6 o'clock entry for a 7 o'clock party. So yeah, that was one of the main differences. But it, you know, it was an entirely different thing. So this is a party that's themed to Hollywood, like classic Hollywood. They encourage everyone to get dressed up, you know, be part of the experience. They have new shows that they've added just for the parties. They do have some of the rides open, some of the attractions open, but not everything. The whole park isn't open. So it's only select areas, select rides. And they did, you know, like the Christmas parties at the Magic Kingdom, they do have some special magic shots. some, you know, special spots to get your picture taken that you don't normally have. They have separate food, so different menus at the restaurants that are normally there. And also they did open up like a couple of different locations that were just special stands that had new food items or beverage items that they don't normally have. So yeah, and I think the show at the end of the night was the Jingle Bam one that they've had before. So that wasn't specific to the party. But yeah, but they had a lot of different new special stuff. Along with them, you know, encouraging everyone to get dressed up. You know that I was not going to pass up the opportunity. So my friend Jason had a wonderful idea for us to dress up to be inspired by the Muppet Christmas Carol. So he dressed up as Gonzo as Charles Dickens. I dressed up as Kermit, as Bob Cratchit. And I made a Robin, Kermit's nephew, puppet. So he could play Tiny Tim. So we enjoyed a majority of our evening just getting to take pictures with other guests that were there, you know, get to greet cast members. And yeah, and we just really had a fun time.
Okay, Charity, so you as the quintessential Disney Muppet nerd, you obviously had a great time. What?
I did.
Why would I want to do this? Like, what is there that's unique? Like you said, they did shows. You said they had certain mm-hmm. things that were open. But as a you know, as a character fan, as a Disney fan, what's going to pull on my heartstrings to make me pay the extra, whatever it is, $120?
Not memory here, but I think it was $169.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Hollywood Studios for what? Say you got in at 7 o'clock and you've got till midnight.
Yeah. I think it was 4.5 hours total.
So I'm paying, you know, quite a bit of money for that. What is it? What do I want to see? I mean, I can either do that or go to Space 220.
So. Right. Yeah. Exactly. You could do that or go to dinner. Well, for characters, and I'm sure that you were keeping up on it, but they had a lot of really specialty characters out. Duffy Bear in a Christmas Santa outfit was adorable. We did get to meet Phineas and Ferb, which I loved, of course, and you know everything's Christmas themed, right? So they had a special Christmas tree, and it had Perry on it, and Ducky Momo was on it. It was great. They had Powerline out. So I know that was, you know, that was another different one. They had a number of regular characters as well. Let's see, you probably looked at the lists and saw more people than what I got to see because we were busy doing the shows because that was our top priority.
What were the shows Disney themed or Hollywood themed? Could you describe that for us?
The shows were amazing. Okay, so you know where they have Frozen Sing-Along? I can't think of that stage name for the life of me. But anyways, they remodeled the entire inside. They completely cover everything. And they've got projections. And they did a Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along with, I mean, you know, talk about characters, right? They have an animatronic face or, a electronically puppeteered face of Oogie Boogie, right? On a dancing Oogie Boogie character. So Oogie Boogie is up on stage dancing and amazing. Also, they had the giant Jack Skellington. But instead of, you know, him being on a stage that's, you know, 60 feet away from you, and you really can't really grasp, you know, the size of him, he's literally just right there on the stage with everybody else. And wow. It was amazing. We were all just in awe. So loved that show. That was great. And then, you know, me, the big thing I really wanted to see was Kermit and Piggy hosted a holiday-themed show over at the Beauty and the Beast stage. And they had it themed like let's say, like a 1940s, a variety show, but like as if it was on like a radio broadcast of a stage show, right? So they, you know, would introduce different characters that would come out. Christmas Belle was beautiful, and yeah, her performance was amazing. Tiana came out and did a number, and they were, you know, songs that were unique and different. Not your typical, you know, Belle isn't coming out just to sing Belle's normal song. Tiana isn't coming out just to sing a song from the movie. They were, you know, all Christmas themed, and trying to think, there was another character as well, and I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Let's guess. Is it Aurora?
No.
Encanto. Mirabelle.
No.
Okay, yeah. I'm done with guesses.
Done with guesses. Mickey and Minnie did a song together. It was adorable, and you know, and Kermit and Piggy were just awesome through the whole thing. And then some of the performers that they usually have as the Arendelle narrators for the Frozen sing-along were, like some of them were performers in the actual show that was held at that, you know, at that stage for the Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along. But some of them were other co-hosts in the Muppets Kermit and Miss Piggy show. And so they performed beautifully as well. It was really just very, very entertaining. And yeah, I mean, for us, that was great.
That's cool, Charity. What would you give a letter grade to? Like you're in school. Would you give it from an A+ to an F? What are you giving the jingle, Jollywood Nights? I kept saying jingle.
For what it was, I would give it an A-. I think that they could do more. I really think they could give you more time. For value, I think that's probably where it struggles. You know, we made the most of every minute of our night, and we had a wonderful experience. But because of how much time you spend in the lines, you could very easily have spent, you know, that whole big chunk of money and maybe done 3 or 4 things. So I think the value can be there. But you know, if what you want to do is go see a whole bunch of characters and that is your whole priority, it's not worth the money. Because you're not going to be able to see enough of them. Like, out of our whole night, the thing we spent the longest in line for was meeting Phineas and Ferb.
Interesting. I didn't mention in our last show that they had Agent P out at the marathon. I should have mentioned that. That was a rare one for us. Yeah. Kev, you have any questions for Charity on Jollywood Nights?
She just I think she just answered my primary question. And that's simply this. I mean, obviously, it's a fairly exclusive thing. There's not that many of them. I know that the first night was a complete bust. They fixed it by the second one, apparently. But the first one was a nightmare, from what I understand. But the question was, is it worth it? And I know that that's a really subjective question. Yeah. But I think you answered that. But again, you're $170 in for a few hours. Is basically what it amounts to.
I think that's the, you know, we were talking about, and I'm just going to rant right here. I'm going to lay it down right here. We were talking about the things that we don't like that Disney has changed. They have gone off the deep end on these prices. And I just honestly, we are huge Disney fans. We cut corners where we can to be able to go. But at some point, it's going to bite them. They can't just keep doing this. Disney, I love you, but $170 for that, you got it. This is getting kind of crazy. And you're it's almost like they're messing with the goodwill of their patrons a little bit. Like if I'm going to pay $170, I expect characters I've never seen before. I expect very short lines. I expect to be able to do everything in one night. I mean, there's just some expectation there that they're not meeting on these parties. But see, people are still paying to go, and that's where they got us. So,
I think they may have seen they may have seen a little bit of that limit on this one, because you know we were there at the second party, and right, this is super exclusive. There's few tickets being sold. You know, compared to a Magic Kingdom party, this is super tiny. Few tickets being sold, and there were only 10 nights total, right, that you could even purchase tickets for. We were there the second night. The third night, there were still tickets available when we were at the party on the second night.
Wow.
So they did not, you know, guests were holding back on shilling out all the money to go to this unknown thing. And especially after the reviews on the first night, it did not go well.
And let's not forget that they're also closing this park down early for those guests who are paying full day tickets for, them to close it down early for this special event. That's another thing that you got to kind of weigh, not in whether or not you go to this event, but you got to weigh what Disney is doing with all of that by cutting it short.
On top of the fact that they're also closing down the Magic Kingdom on certain nights for the Very Merry Christmas Party during the most crowded time of the year for Disney World. So they're closing down 50% of their parks early. And so they're trying to funnel people to these parties to get people to go, well, we're not, you know, two of the parks are closed. Might as well go to one of these parties. It's, you know, it's just... it's brilliant marketing. It really is, but it's not being, I don't think it's being responsible to your fan base. I don't want to say irresponsible because that feels really very serious, but it's just, it doesn't feel right to me.
It's not well received by a lot.
No. If I could whisper into Disney's ear, you know, not Walt Disney, but Disney, the company, if I could whisper into their ear and say something, I would say something like, hey, you know, you can do little things that don't cost a lot that people love. Like that silly, the Sleepy Hollow deal that they did at Fort Wilderness, $20. You get to meet the Headless Horseman. My kids will talk about that for the next 30 years of their life because it was amazing. And it was affordable, and it was fun. You could do that with Christmas characters. You know, you can do some stuff like that. Anyways, I'm going to get off our high horse. We've already run long on this podcast. We were going to talk about trip reports. Let's do a very, very quick version of that. So what I'm going to ask, Charity, where did you stay when you went? What parks did you do? And what new experience did you have? That's three questions. Let's try to answer them briefly as possible, and then I'll go to Kevin. Where did you stay? Which parks did you go to? What new experience did you have?
Where did we stay? Okay, I think we stayed at Caribbean Beach.
Wow, you had a wonderful experience.
Right? It was just so great. Yeah, I think we did. But we, parks, we just did Epcot and Hollywood Studios. Nope, scratch that. We did the Magic Kingdom.
How do you tell someone you've been to Disney World a lot of times without telling them you've been to Disney World a lot of times?
But I did go to I did go to the Christmas party in the Magic Kingdom. So that I was trying to say, did we go to the park that day or the, anyways, so first first experience. This was the first experience for me to get my picture taken with a Disney executive. So just happened to be there the weekend that pin trading came back. Just happened to be with a pin trading super fan, and we both had, you know, we both had pins to trade. We spotted a Disney employee that we thought, oh, wow, look, they are probably a manager or something because they're wearing nice clothes and a lanyard. So let's go up and try to pin trade with them. Ended up being the president of Walt Disney World. And so we, yeah, we not only did we get to pin trade with him, but they, you know, they taped it, they put it on his Instagram. So us pin trading with him is on his Instagram. The pin that I traded him for was an artist proof pin. And I'm, you know, I've picked it out for my son, and I'm going to make him cherish it forever.
All right, Kev, where did you go? What did you stay? Did you get a new experience?
Yeah, so I just went for one day. It was actually the Friday of the marathon weekend. So it was busy. I stayed with a friend who was there all week, and they were at Saratoga Springs. It was my first time to stay there. Really, really liked it. I mean, it's a huge resort, but I did like how the buses just kind of drop you off at different places. That was kind of nice. So I went to the Magic Kingdom, and I did something that I don't think I've ever done. I hit 20 attractions that day on a marathon weekend, which I think was pretty impressive. Now, part of that was because my friend was running the race, and so they left at like 6 o'clock, and so it was just me. And so I was able to really book it around the park where I wanted to go. You know, one day ticket was $175 that day. And we also did, Genie Plus, which was at $35. So it was a over $200 day just to be in the park. And so I was going to make sure that I got my full, amount of time in there. Which was great. I really enjoyed it. The one thing that I did that I had not ever done before, I went ahead and bit the bullet. When I went to Gaston's, I went and I got the cinnamon roll, but I also decided to do LeFou's brew for the first time, and I will not do that again.
Frothy apple juice. You're not into frothy apple juice?
It was very much bad. I did not enjoy it at all. It's like this weird, so it's, if you don't know what it is, it's a frozen Minute Maid apple juice, but there's like this tart stuff that they put on top of that, and then like a whipped cream frothy thing on top. It is too much. It is just too much. I couldn't, I like half of it. I don't know how much it was. It was like $79 or something. I threw half of it away. I just couldn't do it. So
did you get the collector's mug though?
I did not get the collector's mug. I should have done that. If I was going to spend, I think it was really only like $8, but I should have gotten the collector's mug. Here's why I didn't. I did not want to carry it around with me. That's the only reason.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so we stayed this time, as I said earlier, we stayed at All Star Sports. We stayed at the Clementine and Disneyland Hotel, went up to Disneyland. The new experience, we went to every park at Disneyland, of course. There's only two, Hollywood Adventure and Disneyland itself. We only went to Epcot when we went to Disney World this time, which is different for us. The new experience we had, we met a ton of new characters. We've met so many characters over the years that we don't meet a lot of new ones. And they have a Pete character out there at Disneyland, which is really cool, Pete the Cat. We met the Mandalorian and Grogu. And Grogu is really cute. He's a puppet, and he kind of talks to you. And we met them. We met Ahsoka. One of the things that we have never done before, and we really did, was Brewer really liked Star Wars Land and wanted to hang out there. So we spent pretty much a whole day just hanging around Star Wars Land, and my wife was standing there. They have these little kiosks around where people are playing games, and they're playing like Star Wars card games and stuff. And the Mandalorian came out and played a Star Wars card game with Amanda, and so we got that on tape. And so she's playing cards with the Mandalorian, and then we hung out there for a long time. And then Brewer decided the second day we were at Disneyland California Adventure that we would just hang out in Avengers Land, and we hung out there and we met Ant-Man and the Wasp and Miss Marvel and Shang-Chi. And I mean, we were there, and like, it was just like, we just hung out. We were like Avengers for the day. We just kind of stood there, waited for characters to greet Brewer. And it was a fun day, really fun day. I wish they had the same music from the Tower of Terror Guardians of the Galaxy Escape ride that they do for the Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot. Who picked the music for the Epcot Guardians of the Galaxy ride? That person should be not fired. I don't want their family in danger of losing, you know, the food up on their table. But they should really be penalized. There should be some sort of punishment for that. Anyways. All right. This one went longer than I thought it would. I did not think we would be so long-winded, but we haven't been podcasting regularly in a while. We had a lot of things to say. So, Kirti, any last word? I can tell you want to say something.
I do. So I wanted to say, you know, kind of a recap on Jollywood Nights. My personal thoughts as far as what I'm doing. So I would not take my family, just because that's a whole lot of expense for a whole lot of people. But me being someone who will pay money to go to Comic-Con and get dressed up and enjoy that experience, getting to do that in a Disney park, you know, being an adult who can dress up at a Disney park, much like the Halloween parties, right? There is an extra premium to allow for that. Enjoyed that experience so much that we're actually planning, my friend and I, to go next year to two parties because we had such a wonderful time. So I am part of the problem because
you're spending the money.
I'm willing to spend the money for that experience. So I'm wrecking it for all of the people that don't want the park to close early. But for me personally, it was fabulous, and I want to do it again.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. So we'll be back with you hopefully for another show near for Kevin and Charity and Randy and Rusty and Stephanie. You're never too old to wish upon a star.